This is Super Chicken in the Mississippi Delta, Clarksdale. Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and you should subscribe to it right now. I'm Simon Rentner. What happens when a young boy working as a sharecropper in the Mississippi Delta gains a strange superpower, and he's suddenly able to talk to chickens on his cotton farm? Later, this chicken whisperer gains another superpower of becoming a super blues musician. He's not only able to sing and play the guitar, but build all of his instruments from scratch. A guitar built from a Black & Decker toolbox, or out of a shotgun barrel. Meet Super Chicken. He's our guest today and joins us with the Berkeley Blues Explosion for a special concert we captured at the Juke Joint Blues Festival in Clarksdale, Mississippi. We're speaking to one of the last great bluesmen from the Delta. He goes by the name of Super Chicken, but his real name is James Johnson.
That's right.
Living in Clarksdale, Mississippi, has made a variety of recordings as one of the headliners of this year's Juke Joint Festival in Mississippi, is performing with some of the top college students at Berklee College of Music in a set that we are recording. And not only are you one of the great guitar players, singers, predecessors of this music we call blues, your guitars could be seen at the Whitney Museum of Art. You are a fine arts master, and your guitars are collected by people like Steven Seagal and Morgan Freeman and others.
Paul Simon.
And Paul Simon has one of your guitars.
Yeah, and Carolyn Kennedy. Yeah, I made one especially for her with her name carved in it, yeah. And she said she was going to hang it in her dining room so all her guests could see it when she come.
And so what came first for you, and what was noticed by your family? Your gift for music or your gift for creating things?
They called me crazy. You don't get creative things around this part of the country. You just get called crazy because you're odd. If you're different from everybody and you're doing something different all the time, say, he's just crazy. But he can do this and he can do that. He crazy, you know. But anyway, you know, they meant gifted, you know.
And you were the craziest of 20, 22?
Well, no, it's actually 11 sisters and brothers. But I grew up in my grandmother's house. My grandmother had 14 of her own. And my oldest aunt got six, who had seven children that had to move in with my grandmother. That made 21, and I was 22 because my grandmother raised me. So I grew up with my aunts and uncles.
And how many guitars do you think you've made over the years?
Well, over 1,000 or more. And there's a little switch on there. See a little switch down at the bottom? Yeah, pull out on there. Yeah. When the batteries are up, it lights up. My grandson comes in here and turn it on and run the batteries down.
So do you think of yourself first as a musician or as a visual artist?
As a country boy. That might do anything. I'm just an old country boy. I don't claim nothing fancy or permanent. I let other people decide on what to think. I don't brag on myself or, you know, I just try to do the best I can, and I let other people do the bragging if there's anything to brag about.
Well, Super Chicken, you certainly do have plenty to brag about, and why you are the toast of the town. We're going to listen to you right now with this band from Berklee College of Music, Super Chicken, the treasure of the Delta Blues here in Clarksdale. ¶¶
from Simply Seeking Song. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Come on, go down there with me on. I go with the song when I'm soaring along. Till you don't see me, treat me like a dog. Way up my pump, y'all. I'm from Simply Seeking Song. Yeah, we got good moonshine. Come on, go down and put me on. From a warehouse to a Peterbilt, trucking in Tennessee. I played the blues in Arkansas, sitting on the pecan tree. Sebastian wanna play some boogie, y'all. Sebastian, you like the boogie woogie.
These kids are pretty good, right? You enjoy playing with
great,
them?
Great, man. But, you know, they're young kids and they're great. They're outstanding musicians. They catch on fast, man. You just tell them where you're going and what you're going to do, and they're ready for it. They're hungry. I can look at them and tell they were hungry. They were like, they was trying to give me more than what I needed. Yeah.
You were the same way with your uncle when you were hungry for the blues.
Yeah. He's picked on me a lot, though.
Big Jack Johnson.
Big Jack Johnson, Frank Frost, Sam Carr, the Jelly Roll King Band. At one time, I was the bass player for them for a short while there. And it was just me and my uncle in the same room together, like two big heaters in one small room. Too much heat. So I had to go my way and let him go his. But we still played together from time to time. But of course, having my own band, my first band was called the Funk Thumpers. Super Chicken and the Funk Thumpers, and then we changed it to the Fighting Cocks, because we was getting pretty popular around, you know, the Fighting Cocks. And I lost all of the guys. My daughter was the drummer. And then we kept running up on girls that wanted to play. So now all of a sudden I got a whole all-girl band, all-girl backers. I said, well, I guess we got to find a different name. They said, no, don't you dare. We want to be Fighting Cocks. So they're called Fighting Cocks now, the Super Chicken and the Fighting Cocks, and they're all girls. But the Cocks fight, man. They fight when they're on the stage.
But is cockfighting really a thing here in the South?
Yeah, not really big, but it is. You know, it's illegal here in the South, so it's not really big. You got to go way down south, like down in Louisiana and different places like that, where they have them way out in the country. So far out there, the police are scared to come out.
Was it a cock you used to bring on stage?
Yeah, I used to bring a chicken around with me all the time. I have him stand on the neck of my guitar. And I had to fire the chicken, though, man. People would come to see the chicken. They weren't coming to see me. I wanted to see me.
The chicken became a gimmick to what you were doing.
Oh, yeah. He spread my reputation pretty fast, you know. He got a dancing chicken. He got a singing chicken. What I do, I had a little wire cage that I kept the chicken in. I set him down in the front of the bass speaker. And you know, if you stand in front of a bass speaker and it hit real hard, you can feel it, you know, the air, the pressure from it. Foop, foop, foop. And with that chicken in that cage in front of that speaker, and when his bass started playing, he started ducking his head and keying on, you know. And they said, but he's dancing, you know. He's getting down and they're dancing. And one day I had the cage sitting on the stage close by a piano. And it got a little wire door in the top of it. So he got to jumping around and knocked that little door open, and he jumped out of the cage and he ran across the piano. And there was somebody on the other end, and he turned around and come back. And when he ran across that piano, he played some note, some tune or that. Then he come back and jumped back down in the cage. And the word got out, that chicken not only dance, he plays the piano. So he stand on the neck of the guitar and play the neck of the guitar, and he get tired of playing the guitar, he go play the piano, man. They had all kind of stuff. So I had people calling for me to come. They said, if you don't bring the chicken, don't you come either. So I said, I'm fired that chicken.
That is some story. Well, I understand that you have some like telepathic kind of communication with chickens. That's how you got your name, right?
Mm-hmm. Whether you know it or not, chickens play a big part in our lives, especially poor people. People talk about steak and fish, pork chop. But if it wasn't for that chicken, a lot of poor folks wouldn't made it. When everything else is all gone, there's always a chicken. We had so much chicken, the first time I got a bologna sandwich, I thought it was steak.
I'm just sitting around the barnyard, drinking that rooster juice. I'm just sitting around the barnyard, drinking that rooster juice. Well, I'm worried about my rooster, he don't crow like he used to do.
We're listening to Super Chicken here on the checkout in Mississippi, Clarksdale at the Juke Joint Festival. How are you so bright when the clouds seem so gray, growing up in the segregated South in Mississippi?
Well, every minute, every second, every hour, every year is a time in your life. And life is short, and it's too short to be running around with your mouth poked out about something you can't do nothing about. You got your own life to live. These people that you want to be angry about done lived their life already, so God gave you one. You look forward, you move forward, try to make somebody happy, try to make somebody smile instead of listening to all these sad and bad stories. I mean, all the stories I tell could be sad, or it could be bad, but I don't want them to be sad, because we were poor and happy. We were so poor, we didn't know we were poor. I mean, we invented recycling, man. Because every time we threw something away, we took a second look at it, went back and got it and done something with it. So in other words, I'm stuck in my old ways. I'm still recycling. Everything that I should throw away, I keep it. And one day, I stumble over and hurt my ankle. I said, oh, that's it. You fixing to be a guitar.
Living in the country, growing up in a tin-top shack. Well, I'm living in the country, growing up in a tin-top shack. Working to the rhythm of the train coming down the track.
The song Work Train, is this part of your recycling? You're thinking, you're recycling Work Train? Is that what you're thinking?
Recycled memories. Recycled old days, you know. we was kids, you know, out in the field. We had sharecropping. You got to make a good crop if you want to have a place to live. You make a bad crop 2 years in a row, you're done. And it's bad to have to leave and have nowhere to go. That's what it was, you know, like you get in debt. Best thing to do sharecropping is to get in debt. I also ain't going to let you leave too quick if you owe him money. But if you don't owe him no money and you ain't making no crops, then you ain't no good to him.
So that was the sharecropping sort of arrangement is you were required at an early age to be a part of this system.
Oh, yeah.
And you needed to provide for your family by picking cotton.
Yep.
Hey, it sounds exhausting and painful.
Oh, yeah, because we slept on the same cotton that we worked. You know, we made mattresses out of our cotton too, you know, pillows and what have you. And we had pillowcase shirts and cotton sack pants and all kind of stuff. You know, like we poor people, we couldn't buy nothing. And I wrote a song about Fred's Dollar Store because there wasn't nothing but used stores wherever we went. Whenever we did get to go to town, we went to used stores and everything, and they were like 10 cents up to 50 cents. And finally, Fred's Dollar Store came to town, and we had a place that we could go and buy new clothes at a reasonable price, you know. Everybody would work hard, you know, to get a chance to get some new clothes. And new clothes was a big thing back then, you know. New shoes, new pants. You were proud. You were rich. You were just as rich as anybody in the world. You had on some new clothes, you know. So we worked hard, and at the end of the year, some way, we got lucky enough that all of us got one pair of jeans and one pair of shoes. And whenever we did get a chance to go to school, we carry our shoes on our arms with our books until we got to school. When we got to school, we put them on, wear them inside the schoolhouse. When school turned out, we take them off and walk home barefooted.
Preserve them.
To preserve them.
We didn't get mad.
Did you ever go to sleep hungry as a boy?
Were you? Oh, many times, man. Went to school hungry, went to sleep hungry, went to work hungry. It wasn't no big deal for us, you know. I mean, we was out in the country and we always got something growing out there somewhere. If it ain't nothing but raw corn, man, we'll go out in the field and pull off a ear of corn. If ain't nowhere around to cook it, we eat it just like it is. And I started working, man. Look, where I come from, well, we call them jobs today. Back then, we call them chores. If you can walk, you got a chore. And mine was taking care of the chickens because I was too small, too young to go to the field. So my chore was taking care of the chickens every day. And I couldn't keep up with those chickens. I couldn't run them, keep the wild dogs, the coyotes, the foxes, keep the chicken from crossing the road, keep the hawks from coming down and getting them. So I had a big job there. I watched those chickens and I learned how to talk to them. I learned how to mimic those chickens, and I kept them out of trouble that way. If you get way out there across the field where he wasn't supposed to be, and by the time I'd run and chase him down, get enough, he'd be five more than went out there, you know, by the time I get out there. So I started calling him. They look at me and wouldn't pay me no attention. And I make the old rooster sound. That's the sound he makes when he finds some food. He'll scratch it on the ground, you know, he'll make. And they come see running to see what he found. So I started doing that, and they come running. And when they come running, I throw some corn. I would have a bucket, you know, throw some corn on the ground, and they find up something to eat every time. So I could walk out in the yard, I go, and here they all come running.
So one of your family members saw you doing this, and that's actually how you got your name, your stage name.
I was Chicken Boy.
I'm just a poor, broke boy down. Southern Mississippi. I'm just a poor, poor boy down in Northern Mississippi. Well, when it rained down south, y'all, the whole back roads get kind of slippery. Well, I'm walking barefoot and on this hot, hot Delta land. Well, I'm walking barefoot and on this hot, hot Delta land. I've been working those fields, y'all, and I've got blisters in my hands. Scorching hot in the summer, we don't even have a fan. Scorching hot in the summer, we don't even have a fan. We're sleeping four to a bed, y'all.
So who are the blues players that come from this region that you idolize the most? Is it the obvious candidates like the Robert Johnsons? Or?
Yeah, they're all gone. You know, Muddy Waters, Johnny Lee Hooker, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Jimmy Reed, Sonny Boy Williamson, Big Jack, Frank Frost, you know, all of these guys. You know, I mean, I call myself prehistoric. Because I was around while the giants was walking the earth, you know. Giants like these guys that I just named. I had a Mr. Know-It-All told me once, I told him that I had sat on the front porch with Muddy Waters when I was a kid. You ain't sat on no front porch with no Muddy Waters. This one of them know-it-all that reads the books and hear the stories. There's so many minutes, seconds, and hours in the lifetime. You can't be there for every minute of a person's lifetime. Now, all of these Mississippi musicians that left here, they had ties. They were Masons. And they were connected to the Underground Railroad, which my grandpa, Ellis Johnson, ran. If there's a family on the place and there ain't no man in the house, then the children got to work. If there's a man in the house, so the man's the man of the house, so he works and bring home all the bread. But if there ain't no man in the house, and every kid that you got big enough to work is going to have to go to the field. And these people didn't want their children to go to the field. They didn't want them to be like them, uneducated and don't know nothing. They wanted them to get an education. And so they just determined that. So they had this problem all over the South, all over the South, and we had more than just my grandpa doing it. But my grandpa was just in this area doing it. So he said, I'm going to use all permanent men, names that people know and recognize. And all these people know that ain't nobody going to come to your house with a name that you never heard of before. So it's going to be a name you heard of before. It's going to be somebody like Sonny Boy Williamson, Jimmy Reed, Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, or somebody like that walk up to your door and knock on your door and they'll say, it's time to go. Who are you? I don't know you. My name's Jimmy Reed. Oh, Bud Johnson sent you. Yeah. Or you say, my name's Sonny Boy Williamson. Okay, yeah, well, we ready to go. We pack up, and we hit the road late at night, you know, because you had to have walking papers to leave a plantation back then. You couldn't just get up and move on your own. You wasn't freedom. You wasn't free. Slavery lasted all the way up until 63, as far as I'm concerned, because we were still sharecropping in 61 and 62. And you cannot leave that place unless you got permission to leave. So if you get caught going down the road with a wagon load of furniture, and somebody stopped me and wrote, where you coming from, boy? Come from Mr. Leroy's place. What are you doing with all this stuff on that wagon? Mr. Leroy run you off? Yes, sir. He told me I had to leave. Let me see your papers. He didn't give me no papers. You don't got no walking papers? You coming down through here with a load of stuff like that? You could do anything. You could go anywhere. You go back to Mr. Leroy and get you some papers. And if you come down this road again without your papers, we'll fix you up. Because as far as we're concerned, you're a runaway. And they cut your foot off. You know, take an axe or something and cut your foot off if you're a runaway. But if he needs some help, he'll say, well, I got a place, a spot on my plantation, you know. I need some help. But if you just get up and leave a plantation without permission, walking papers, as they call them, you ain't getting nowhere unless you're a G-man. And that's what my grandpa was. He could ride down through there, and they run up to him, stop him, he'd pull his papers out and let him go. And the old boss out there, he'll say, why'd you let him go? Damn G-man.
What does that stand for?
Government man. You work for the government.
He's a Mason.
Yeah. But in order for him to be a Mason, he had to have the papers, you know, because he ran the whole congregation, organization. What the hell do a G-man do, he asked, you know. He told him, he said, we just go around and check on the widow women to make sure they got food to eat. If they ain't got no food to eat, we take them some food. Oh, okay, well, that good. Now, we've been had a lot of people disappearing around. We were wondering if that was what you was doing. No, sir, I don't do no stuff like that.
Sunny days and blue skies, Lord, so pleasing to my eyes. Sunny days and blue skies, Lord, so pleasing to my eyes. I've got a tear right here, but I'm too happy to cry. Ain't gonna cry no more. Crying days are long over. Ain't gonna cry no more. Crying days are long over. You see, I learned how to smile after looking my yesterdays over. All my yesterdays. Somewhere out in the country, all my yesterday. Somewhere out in the country. But these old future days don't really seem to want me. I'm gonna smile anyhow. Got so much to smile about. I'm gonna smile anyhow. Got so much to smile about. Got so much to smile about. Makes me wanna jump and shout. Sunny days and blue skies, Lord, so pleasing to my eyes. Sunny days and blue skies, Lord, so pleasing to my eyes. I've got a tear right here, but I'm too happy to cry. Ain't gonna cry no more. Crying days are long over. Coming up off my knees, don't need no 40 clover. You see, I learned how to smile after looking my yesterday's over.
So Super Chicken, being a country man is clear. That is certainly what you are.
I am.
But given this country and the terrorism that you were subjected to, why didn't you go to some other country and not literally in a nation sense, but find a more rural area that perhaps was more welcoming to African Americans, black people?
Where was this place? That's the next question. Where was this place and how are you going to get there? By the time you get old enough and wise enough to know all of this, you're tied down with a wife and family, a job and responsibilities, and you can't go nowhere. So I was grown and I got to traveling abroad. I saw a lot of places I would love to live and would like to live, but when you come down to reality, there's no place like home. Right or wrong, good or bad, there's no place like home because you got to start all over again. If you move to a new place, you don't know nobody, don't nobody know you, and you got to start life all over again. But here, somebody know you, and I know somebody. I know where to step, when to step, and how to step. That's how you live in Mississippi. Knowing where to step, when to step, and how to step.
Super Chicken, thank you so much for telling these stories, sharing your music. You are the blues.
For Berklee College, and we give you Mr. Simon.
The Berklee Blues Explosion, Dadrian Morrell, David Linwin Stallworth, Lenny Stallworth, Tyson Jackson, Byron Pickett. We thank them all for joining us. We thank Super Chicken for joining them, the Berklee Blues Explosion. I'd like to give a huge shout out, special thanks to this amazing organization, Griot Incorporated. Find out more about what they represent at griotarts.com. A special shout out to the winners for the Berklee Scholarship at Berklee College of Music. And of course the folks at Berklee College of Music that made this broadcast possible, Alan Bush, Rob Hayes. David Tallickson is on our music mix. This program, which will be broadcast on 88.3 FM in New York City and also on WBGO.org, will also be a podcast for all you podcasters. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. The show is called The Checkout from WBGO, here from Clarksdale. And The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out. Yeah.